Now to Psalm 84a. 84a. How lovely, Lord of hosts, to me the tabernacles of thy grace. Oh, how I long, yea, faint, to see Jehovah's courts, his dwelling place. That second stanza, the sparrow has her place of rest. The swallow, through thy kindly care, has found where she may build her nest and brood her young in safety there. We've been watching with some excitement for the last 6 weeks or so a couple of robins as they built their nest right at the edge of our window up there at the house. And the little ones are just ready to flop out now. And I was thinking of this yesterday in connection with the graduations from here. And these little ones are not flopping out. They're flying out with confidence. But that's what we're singing about and his love for his house. Let's rise to sing. Psalm 84a. To Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16. Israelites are just on their way. Exodus 16, verse 1 through 3, and then 8. And they took their journey from Elim. And all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. And then verse 8. And Moses said, This shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the fullness, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. Now turn with me, please, to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Where Jesus is speaking, beginning in verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Jesus said, "I will build my church." Now look with me in Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Acts of Jesus, Acts of the Apostles, Acts of His people. Acts 6, beginning in verse 1. "And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, 'It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word.' And the praying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." The words I'd like us to focus on are the first words, verse 1 there in that chapter. "And in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration." And children, there are just two parts to all this today. The first part, "in those days," and what was going on in those days. The number of disciples were multiplied. The Christians began to murmur. People were being persecuted. Satan is counterattacking in those days. And then the second part, "in these days." What all does this mean to you and me today? How does this apply to us? Now, in those first days, the first ones, those days, the days of the Acts, but who is it of? It's called the Acts of the Apostles or Disciples. But look at it closely. It's just after the crucifixion and the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus. And we saw him go. We saw him leave. He ascended. He's gone. He's not here with us in the flesh today. We saw him leave. But all through his life with us, Jesus kept promising us that he would keep on building his church and that he would be with us to the end of the world. He kept promising us that, "I will build my church and I will be with you always to the end of the world." Now, here in the book of Acts, we begin to see what he's meaning, because the same kinds of things that are going on here were the same kinds of things that he himself had been doing when he was here with us in the flesh. Here's a man who was born crippled, and he's healed. And he's standing there among us. And we can't deny it. And the number of the disciples continues to be multiplied. And I will build my church, he said, and these are his acts. But now other people are doing his acts in an amazing way. And we say this is the acts of the disciples. But look carefully, because the apostles are mentioned, but there are a lot of other people in the book of Acts who weren't apostles. As a matter of fact, there are more of those people than there are the apostles. And so it's the acts of Christ, all right, that are going on among us, but it's not just even through the apostles that he's working. He's working through many, many other people like yourselves. None of us were apostles. But this is part of what he meant when he said, I will be with you all the way to the end of the world. I will keep on doing my work. Now I'll keep on doing it through you. My works will keep on being accomplished through you. In those days, this was what was going on. The number of the disciples were multiplying. They were multiplying. And then in verse 7, the word of the Lord increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests. Amazing. They were the last bastion of holdouts. But now the priests are coming to believe. And those verbs there are in the continuing tense. They were keeping on increasing. They were keeping on with the spreading out of the word. Multiplying from 300 to 3,000 to 5,000. And all the way through the book of Acts, you can find how they were increasing and increasing and increasing. In 931, the churches were multiplied. Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth in Acts 1:8. And in Acts 12:24, the day Herod died, word of God grew and multiplied. And in Acts 16:5, Paul's journeys, the churches were established in the faith and in numbers daily. This evening, I believe, we're going to be hearing a little bit more of those who've been over there in the very country where these churches were beginning to be multiplied, and to be hearing a little bit more of how that developed back in those days. The book of Acts is just the beginning of what's going on today. La Tourette, whose history I commend to you, spoke and described with very clear facts from history about how the church, the Christian church, has grown faster than any other religious group on the face of God's earth, and still is. It's hard for us to believe that. It's hard for us to believe that. Because we see decreasing numbers, and we see apostasy, and we see all kinds of other things going on. But we see what we live in the Western civilization. When you look at the picture throughout the world, it's not pessimistic. It's optimistic, just as he said it would be. There's a multiplying of believers, and there's a multiplying of churches throughout his world going on yet today. Oh, there's so many who are trying to cover that up and make sure we stay pessimistic. But the facts don't carry that out. According to God's word, it multiplied, and it still is. And the word itself was multiplied and increased. This is very important to see the difference between times when the church is multiplying in a given position, a given situation, a given country, and the times when it is adding. In my early days in the Reformed Presbyterian Church in New Concord, Ohio, the church was adding. Then God allowed me to live long enough to see a time and place where the church began to multiply. And we've not paid enough attention to the difference. There are things that Jesus is doing, and there are things that Satan will be doing with a church that is multiplying that he doesn't need to do with a church that is just adding. And we need to pay attention to that difference. In those days, it was multiplication of disciples, of churches, of workers, and of Satan's counterattack. In those days, Satan was counterattacking. And whenever and wherever in history the church is multiplying, Satan has begun counterattacking. And he always uses the same means. He always uses the same three counterattacks. I couldn't do some other things, but I learned to do some boxing. And one of the first things they showed me was what they call the 1-2-3, where as the one punch comes in, this one comes back and is ready to come in with the next one. And as this one comes in, then the next one is cocked and ready to come in with the third one. And it's called the 1-2-3 punch. It's very important in boxing. Satan knows this. And in these chapters here that we've just been covering and that we're going to cover this morning, we see his 1-2-3 punch, the same three punches that he has used all over the world. And to know what these are is to guard yourself against them and to be able to protect against that. The first of his three punches is persecution, physical persecution. He tries to kill off God's people, throw them in prison. Peter and James have already been in prison at least twice, maybe three times in these early chapters right here. And that was just the beginning. Next, you're going to see Stephen in the very sixth verse, the verse that we would have read next, in the very eighth verse. We'll see Stephen stoned to death before that incident ends. Satan, that's his number one punch. Persecution from without. And then all through these first 500 years, Christians were mauled by the lions in Rome. They were burned to death by Nero. Satan's first counterattack is to try to kill off the church by physical persecution. And he never wins. And he never wins. You'd think he'd learn, but he has never won that one yet. In every case here, Peter, John, and the other apostles who were thrown in prison, not only got out of prison, but when they came back and told the others about it, guess what happened? There were hundreds and thousands of others who came also to believe. That outward persecution has never won. And yet Satan continues on to that today. There are more people, more Christians being killed in the world today in this generation than ever before in history. We don't see much of that in this country, but it's true. We talk a lot about the little girl out in Colorado who said, yes, I'm a Christian, and got shot for it, killed. But there are thousands of others all over the world who are being killed that way today. And Satan has never won that one.